The History Show with Maz Duncan.
Good evening. On this week's programme...
It was apparently his first passion, and he felt it with all the vigour of his nature.
Napoleon and Josephine, one of the most famous love stories in history. Also...
Just out the road near Ballybunion was the spot of the first voice broadcast from Europe to America.
We find out about a vintage wireless museum in Kerry and hear about a worldwide survey of famine memorials. And there'll be lots more too. But to begin...
I condemn the whole of the tenement system now existing. It breeds misery and worse. It causes a great waste of human life and human force. Men, women and children can never rise to the best that is in them under such conditions.
You can text us on 51551. Damning words there from John Cook 100 years ago this week when the report into the housing conditions in Dublin was published on St. Valentine's Day 1914. Mark Duncan of Century Ireland joins me now. Mark, not a very romantic portrayal of our capital on Valentine's Day 1914.
No, not very romantic, but no great surprise either. The problems of the Dublin working class, the housing of the Dublin working classes, had been a subject of concern for many years, many decades indeed. It had been a subject of official comment and a lot of public scrutiny. There had been reports before in 1903, but nothing much had happened. The impetus for the report that came out in February 1914 was the collapse of two tenement buildings in Church Street at the beginning of September 1913. And that caused a public outcry.
Killed what? Eight people?
Killed seven people, among them children.
Right.
Among them children.
And injured many, many more.
And injured many, many more. And of course, the funerals were big events in Dublin at the time. It created a big public outcry. The press was all over it. And something had to be done. And the report, the Commission of Inquiry, led by the Local Government Board of Ireland, which began its work in November 1913, was the result of that. I think one of the striking things about it is just how quickly they were set about their work. They interviewed 76 witnesses in 17 days, began their work in November, published their report by February 1914. So that's pretty efficient work.
A model that would be nice to mimic these
Absolutely.
Days, but those days are long gone. The report also identified councillors, Dublin City councillors, who owned tenements, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose on one level, again, it's not a huge surprise. I mean, the report pointed towards overcrowding, insanitary conditions, but they also, and this is really important, they pointed to members of Dublin Corporation who had a stake in the tenement system. Over a dozen councillors held more than 10 tenement dwellings, and one of them, an alderman, Corrigan, owned 19 tenement houses and over 10 smaller houses around the city. And of course, you have to remember that the report says that most of these smaller houses were little more than shelters. They were completely unsuitable for human habitation.
And something like 90,000 people were living in these in these tenement buildings, weren't they?
The report presents really kind of stark figures. There were over 25,000 families encompassing over 87,000 individuals in just over 5,000 houses. So in some cases you had 98 people living in one house.
The other interesting thing or distinctive thing perhaps about the report is the photographs of the tenements that appear in the appendix, a rare glimpse of conditions at the time.
Absolutely. You played a clip there from John Cook. John Cook was the honorary treasurer of the NSPCC, a forerunner of the ISPCC. And he would have been very familiar with the slums of Dublin, but never before he actually got down on the ground and actually gone into many of the houses. And what he presented in evidence to the inquiry was a body of photographs. 55 of them were published at the back of the report. So what you get here is photographs of barefooted children. Bear in mind, these photographs were taken in November. Barefooted children, you get derelict buildings, you see open sewers, you see the inside of one-bedroom houses, and over 20,000 Dublin families lived in single-room accommodation at that stage.
Now, you might think that photography would not have been a huge feature of life in Dublin in 19. 1814. But that would not be the case.
No, not at all. I think it's interesting to know that many of the other great cities, photography was used as an instrument of social agitation. You don't have that in Dublin. Like, people like John Thompson produced a book exposing the problems of the urban working class in England in the 1870s. Dublin had a thriving photographic industry. The strip that ran from O'Connell Street right up to the bottom of Grafton Street was known as the Photographic Mile. And the reason for the rise of photography was not just obviously advances in technology. It overlapped with the growth of popular tourism. And so what you get in and around Dublin is a wonderful record of urban topography, streetscapes, prominent buildings, public monuments and the like, you know. The biggest single collection of Dublin photographs in that period is the Lawrence Collection at the National Library. There's over 40,000 in the collection in its entirety. Many of them are from Dublin. They were based on Sackville Street, within a stone's throw of some of the worst tenements in Europe. And yet you don't find any real record of the tenement system in that collection.
Now, the committee went about its work expeditiously, as you said, but what happened as a result of the Dublin Housing Report? The same thing that happens with most reports?
Very little. One of the biggest problems here is the war intervenes. You know, so any kind of impetus for reform is thwarted. So in the decade before this, a lot of the focus in public housing, in social housing in Ireland, is focused on rural Ireland. The Irish Labourers Act 1906 leads to over 40,000 houses which are built by the outbreak of war. You don't see that level of development in our towns and our cities in Dublin until much later, into the 1930s in some cases.
Well, full details of the Dublin Housing Report will be published on the Century Ireland website this coming Wednesday, where people can sample other stories from 100 years ago, including this one from the USA, which was published in the Sunday Independent on the 15th of February 1914.
The Postmaster General today issued instructions that henceforth babies are not to be accepted for dispatch by parcels post, and that in future the only living things that may be accepted are queen bees. This order is due to the inconvenience and extra work caused to officials by freak consignments entrusted to mail carriers by citizens for whom the novelty of the parcels post system, introduced about 13 months ago, has not yet worn off. Just a year ago, an enterprising mother, wishing to make a call but not wishing to be burdened by her baby, sent the child to its grandmother by parcels post. The distance was only a mile, and the incident was looked upon as a great joke. But since then, there have been too many imitations for the comfort of the post office officials.
Yes, indeed, folks. A postal ban on babies in the USA, and it wasn't a once-off, as suggested at the end of the item. The article went on to give other examples as well. Finally, Mark, storms and flooding have been on people's minds very much here over the past few weeks. What was the weather like in Ireland 100 years ago?
Pretty bleak, very similar to today. And in many cases, it's the same areas that are afflicted over the last kind of few weeks that were afflicted in mid-February in 1914. Along the western coast, likes of Seoul, Till, very badly affected. Big boulders of rocks were thrown up onto the shore, blocking the promenade. A small boat, which was lifted across Galway Bay and was said to be kind of like a cork bobbing on the water. In Quilty, down in West Clare, a fishing community absolutely destroyed. 18 families had to appeal to the Board of Fisheries to save themselves from starvation. Their nets, their boats were destroyed in the storms. And then again, something that was in the news today was the flooding of the River Shannon. And the Shannon flooded in February 1914 as well, particularly in and around Athlone on the Roscommon side. Fields were turned into lakes.
Okay, well, it has supposed to, or it was supposed to have been drained in the meantime. But Mark Duncan, thanks very much for joining us. We put some of those tenement photos from 100 years ago on our website. You'll also there find a link to Century Ireland. And as I mentioned, their latest edition will be out this coming Wednesday.